Very often we can think of ourselves just as being a member of the body or just being an island on our own. And what God is wanting to do is wanting to show us that we are a member of the body, but we're not an island on our own, and we actually really, really need to be together in the right sense of the word so that we can move forward step by step. And the reason in Shola's need, if you like, and with his loss, and with their family situation, which was extremely pressured for those few weeks, because we had certain things in place and God spoke to us, we were able to respond immediately in love and do something very practical about that. And so the practical and the spiritual side was met for both him and Shola. We were able to encourage Shola while he was away. We were able to pray for Shola while he was away. And all of that, and even on a practical level with money and that, we were able to help them out during that period of time. And the Lord is speaking to us about being a body, being a church very much together. And I believe God wants to break something in the church, break something in our church that will bring a release to us. He wants to break something off and he wants to bring something in, break something loose inside of us that takes away this mentality. It's a Western mentality because we've all been taught it. You've got to fend for yourself. And that there's a place, the Bible says that we're to take a responsibility for ourselves, for our own lives. It actually says we're to bear our own burden. But it also says that we're to carry one another's burdens. So how does that work? Well, it works in that God has given each one of us specific things to do for him. When we got born again, when we became Christians, he gave us a job to do. He gave us a place to fit within the church. And that's your own burden. For example, Nigel has been anointed to play the guitar and lead worship. There's an anointing on him to do that. So when he comes into that's his burden. That's something God has given to him. That's the thing that he carries in the church. Someone else in the church perhaps has been given the burden of prayer in a particular way. Someone else has given me the burden or the responsibility of manning the sound desk at the back. Marion does the screen. These aren't necessarily what we would call spiritual gifts, but I tell you, if we don't do the practical things, that's why I turn up here early on a Sunday, because we've sent the school diagrams of how the seats ought to go. We send them. I've had meetings with them, and still every time I come in on a Sunday, the formation of the chairs is different every week, and I just laugh. I mean, it's funny, really. And so I come here early to actually alter the chairs around just to make sure they're right. Now, the reason I'm saying that is that we all have something to do, and I'm not too spiritual to do something like that. So because I'm given to the work of the church here, I'm given to the work of the body here, and I'll do whatever it takes to make sure that we hit the target and we get to where God's taken us as a people, both here, East Corinthians, and other places too. And, you know, we're all part of the Kingdom Faith family. And it is a family. It's wonderful. And Pastor Colin's a little bit like the father of the family because God used him to start the work in the first place. And we are one work. We are one apostolic work, even though we're actually in different church areas and we exist as a church. But we're not separate from the family. Does that make sense? We're part of the same. But we look slightly different here. And we look slightly different over at East Corinthians. But we're one family. And it's very, very important that we don't, in our thinking, have a separate mentality. Well, I've got my ministry and the church is something else. No, the first thing is the Lord and then the church. And then everything else comes out of that. That's God's order. That's God's order in his work. And it's very important that we don't allow separations to come in. This is very important because God is calling us together. This is why he's speaking to us at the moment about prayer, about the need for us to really pray together, to be praying in the Spirit, to be praying together, to be praying with faith, because there's something God is releasing into the church at this time. And as we allow him to move upon us in prayer, we're going to see breakthroughs come, one thing after another. God is just going to release tremendous breakthroughs in our own personal lives, but in the church too. Does it make sense? And we've been hearing this morning about answers to prayer. I mean, I heard the other day just a couple of days ago, there was a family that came here. They didn't come regularly. They just came every now and again. And I had such a burden for their daughter, who had a very, very serious illness. In fact, the doctors did, the diagnosis was very, very serious, and there seemed to be no change. And I remember one Sunday, I just went up to them and just said, can I just pray for your daughter? And we just prayed together. And I knew God heard the prayer. I knew that it was answered, it was done. And like many, many times when we pray, we don't necessarily see the whole thing done and dusted there, but faith will see the thing done. And it wasn't just a mind thing. I knew in the spirit I had something and it would release something in prayer for the healing of this child. And we've not seen anything for, we haven't seen them for about a year. And I heard this week someone had bumped into them and they said, oh, we must tell us over here that the daughter is completely well. She's been completely healed. See, we don't hear everything. And maybe that's good. That will keep us humble. Because we don't take it to ourselves, but it's always good to hear where God has perhaps you've released a word to someone, you hear many, many months, sometimes years later, God did a particular thing or healed a particular person. The reason I say all of that is that we're a faith church here, and every time that we pray together or even when we're praying on our own for someone, that spirit of faith is here in this place, and God loves to answer our prayers. And he wants to make us a victory praying church. He wants us to be anointed in our prayer times, in your own times with God, that we have anointed times in prayer. And we're coming into this month. This month is going to be a month of prayer. We're going to have, you know, particular times of prayer together, and we'll probably say more about that next week. But if you're around and you're about, do get to some of the prayer meetings that we have. If you're around in the daytime, we have a prayer meeting on Wednesday morning at Carol's at 9 o'clock. We have a prayer time on a Thursday morning. That's at Yvonne's in Broadfield. On Friday mornings, we have a prayer time at East Grinstead, and again at 9 o'clock. Now, anyone's invited to any of those meetings, because we just meet with God and we will then pray particularly for those areas, but anything that the Lord lays on our hearts. But the great thing is, as we come into these times, the presence of God comes. It's wonderful, it really is, and we really meet with the Lord and the Holy Spirit comes and fills those times. We have an early morning prayer time. That Bob, one or two go to that at St. Peter's. That's on a Thursday morning and a Friday morning at 6 o'clock. That's from 6 till 7. And then we're probably going to have a prayer time every Wednesday, but I'll say more about that next week, so that anyone from the church who'd like to come to that, we're just going to pray, just going to pray together, because of the things God wants to release into our lives and through us as a church to fulfill the purpose. This is what it's all about, to fulfill the purpose. And it doesn't need a great number of people, but it needs a people who are together. It needs a people who are in faith. Amen. And last week I spoke about the prayer. Our motive for prayer is love. So don't regard prayer as duty. Regard prayer as your love devotion to God. Prayer is our relationship with the Lord. And again, we can have a wrong mentality about prayer, but God wants to change the way that we think about prayer is relationship. Prayer is meeting with the Lord. Prayer is receiving from Him. Prayer is a relationship. And it comes out of our devotion to Him. And last week, we just looked at some things about prayer and about building the house. Do you remember that? And we spoke about building the walls. And the Lord's been speaking about building the walls of prayer. That prayer, when we pray together with faith and we're releasing the Word of God and the plans of God and the purposes of God for us as a church and for Crawley or for East Grinstead, for whatever it is God puts in our hearts, then the wall is built up in prayer. And the wall, the idea of the wall is the wall keeps the enemy out and it keeps the people in together. It's a safe place. And God wants this church to be a safe place. He wants it to be a place that it's like a building that has pillars, foundations. That's what God's been doing amongst us for a couple of years now. And He wants the roof to be put on. But all of that can't go on until the walls are built up. And we spoke about it last week. And like us this morning, I've entitled this morning, Unless the Lord Builds the House. And we're doing a series at the moment, started last week, about God being the builder. So I've called this series God the Builder. God the Builder, not Bob the Builder, but God the Builder. And I'd like us to look at Psalm 127 and verse 1. Psalm 127 and verse 1. And while we just speak together this morning and share some scriptures and truth about this, think about this morning, who is it that you pray mainly with? Because you'll find that God wants all of us here this morning. God wants there to be at least one other person that we pray with regularly. He probably wants there to be a small group of people that we pray with regularly. But I see this, in the early church were given to prayer. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit came upon them, so anointed them that they couldn't help. But every time they met, they kept on praying. They kept meeting with God. And God wants to release that spirit of prayer, not just in a few of us here, but the whole church wants to, that we have this desire just to talk to God and to have faith together, that when we pray, we release answers from heaven and we see people being healed and we see people being saved and we see the church moving forward and we see new people coming into the church. All this kind of thing comes through prayer. Amen. And the Lord wants to help to build us up in prayer together so that we have one person, two people, a few people that we pray regularly together with. And then he also wants us to be meeting all together regularly for prayer. As a whole church, we come together and we pray. And I see that Sunday mornings are going to be, we're going to have more times where we can really storm the gates of hell and see breakthroughs come in prayer when we pray together. But God needs to bring us together where we're in a place of faith to do that. But he wants us to be a praying church. When we have the prayer meeting on, at the moment, it's been, is it about the third Wednesday in the month? It's interesting who comes to that prayer meeting, because people come if they want to. Now, well, not everyone can come to every meeting we have, I understand that. But people will come to those times of prayer because they have, the people that come because they have a desire to pray. And God wants to release his spirit, the spirit of faith amongst us when we come together in that way. And there's going to be an increase of prayer, of the spirit of prayer amongst us. That means we're going to see more God move and do more things. Amen. And it's been very encouraging the times that we have as we worship and praise him. That's all part of prayer. That's part of our relationship. And we get into a flow. We begin to see answers being released from heaven. And it's wonderful. And Psalm 127 verse 1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. How many of you have heard this scripture before? Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. So God is saying this morning, reminding us, look, this is my work and I want to build it my way. I want to do it my way. And he's the builder of the church. Jesus said, I think it was in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 18, I will build the church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against you. So Jesus is saying, I'm the builder. So God is the builder of all things. And one of the things that we have to learn, particularly those of us that take a lead in things, is to make sure that we're walking humbly with God and constantly saying, God, is there anything you want to change? Is there anything that you want to alter? How are we doing? And I constantly review things with God about us as a church because I don't want to do things my way. I want to do things God's way. And I'm glad the Lord feels that as well, that he wants things built his way. And God wants a people who will do things his way. He doesn't want you to live your Christian life your way. He doesn't want you to have your ministry. All of us here have ministries. Some are more obvious than others. We all have ministries. But he doesn't want you to run your ministry your way. He wants you to run the ministry God's way. Yeah. Doing things God's way is very important. And I see a mistake a lot of Christians are making, and I've made them myself, is that you get something from God, get a vision from God, get a call from God, and what you start doing is you end up doing it in your own way. And it's both right and wrong. And God is saying to us that we need to submit ourselves afresh to him, so then everything we do is saying, God, I just want to do it your way. And you'll find God will adjust you, change you, and adjust what you do, and it will bear a whole lot more fruit. Amen. This is how he wants us to be as a church. So God says this morning, I'm the builder of this house. God called us to come here. There's no doubt about it. It wasn't someone's good idea. We're here by the purpose of God. God called us to come here to Crawley as part of Kingdom Faith. And we're on a journey at the moment. And God wants the walls built. The walls of prayer. The walls of love. The walls of relationships between us. And the Lord is the builder of the house. So we don't have to labor in vain. We can thank God as we're submitting to God and saying on a daily basis, Lord, I just want to do things your way. Holy Spirit, just come and take control of my life. Then he will come and he will enable us to do things his way. Even if it takes a while, even if it takes a bit of breaking of our thinking and breaking of our pride and stuff, God will have his way with each one of us because he knows what's in our hearts. And he'll get us to the place where he wants us to be, where he can say, right, now I've got you to a place where the walls are really being built up, and now I'm going to add to you. I'm going to multiply you as a church. And you can't do that unless the walls are built up. And so I'm talking about some of the things that God is speaking to me about at the moment. Let's turn to Nehemiah. We were there last week. Nehemiah is in the Old Testament, and I'm just going to pull out a few verses. I spoke a little bit about this last week, but I don't know how many of you have read Nehemiah during this week. How many of you have read Nehemiah this week? Oh, you have. Good. Look at that. You've tried. Okay, that's good. Very hard. If you read the book of Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah is all about walls that were broken down. The walls of Jerusalem were broken down. And this prophet, Nehemiah, God called him to go into Jerusalem and to see the walls built up again. If you read the story, the modern, or if you like, the equivalent that God is saying to us in the church, he's saying, in the same way, I want you to go in, I want you to see the walls of the church built up. Not just us as a church, but the church, God's church in Crawley, the Lord's church in this nation, the walls are broken down. The gates are broken down. God wants the church built up. He wants the walls built up. And if you follow through this story, you'll see there's lots of examples of what happened to Nehemiah that happened to us today. Let's look at Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 17. Nehemiah says, I said to them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste and its gates have burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach. And I often, when I'm talking to people, unsaved people, people who don't know Jesus, their idea of the church isn't the same idea as your idea or my idea of the church. Their idea of the church is the church with a steeple and people who live hypocritical lives, and people who are basically very religious, and they miss the point of this is all about a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of what's happened in the religious side of the church, there's a reproach on the church today. And God's using churches like us and others to break that mindset and break that thing of the reproach. And he's wanting a people like us to say, come on, let's come and build the wall of the church. Let's come and build the walls of the church again. And that in our hearts we're saying, Lord, I'm here for your kingdom and to see your church being built. You're the builder of the church. I want to work with you. Amen. So this morning, I'm asking you a question this morning. Do you want to be a builder with God?
Yes.
That's good. That's a good response. Do you want to build with God?
Yes.
God's the builder of the church. He wants to build our lives up. He wants to build the church, the people of God together. And he's promised I'm going to do it. But he needs willing people, willing volunteers like you and me to come and actually work with him in the building of the church. And this is a lifetime's work to see his kingdom, that's his reign, come on this earth and into this nation and other nations, and also to see the church built. That's why I'm alive. That's my job. And that's yours too. And what we need to do is find our part that we need to play in that to see the kingdom of God come, where we live, where we work, wherever we go, and to see God's church, Christ's church, being built. And God's called each one of us to be builders with him. Yeah, we're builders with God. He wants us to work with him. And so Nehemiah says, come, let's build the wall of Jerusalem. And then verse 18, "And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said," this is what the people said in response, "let us rise up and build." And I really believe that for us as a people, I know not everyone's here today, but as a people, as a church, that our response to God is, "let us rise up and build." Can we just say that together? If you're part of this, if you believe in this, God wants us to be builders with him in his kingdom, builders of the church. Let's say this together. Let us rise up and build. Now let's say this to one another this morning. Let us rise up and build. Now, for some of you, it may sound funny to say this, but let's say it with faith now, not just saying the words, but let us rise up and build. Let us rise up and build. Now this is the word of the Lord to us as a church, as a people. He's saying, come on, build with me, work with me, and let us as a whole church rise up in prayer together under the Spirit's anointing, because the hand of God is upon this church. I every time I come here, not just here at Oriel, but every time I pray, the hand of God is upon this church. So it doesn't matter what's going on. If no one turned up here, I wouldn't be discouraged. If no one turned up here this morning, I wouldn't be discouraged, because I see God's hand upon the church. I see the anointing upon the church. Even if it's just two of us, it'll work. Now, it's not going to be that way. It's just going to increase. It's just going to develop. It's just going to increase, because God's hand is very strong upon us. And as we are in a place of faith and we begin to see things as God sees them, you'll see even the words that I'm bringing this morning are a spirit and life, because they're truth. They're what God is speaking about us at the moment. Let us rise up and build together. And then they set their hands to this good work. And we need to set our hands to this good work to see the church being built. And then chapter 3, if you turn over the page, chapter 3, it says here, verse 1, "Then Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brothers, the priests, and built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and hung its doors. They built as far as the Tower of the Hundred and consecrated it, then as far as the Tower of Hanel. Next to Eliashib, the men of Jericho built." So here's different groups of people building together. "And next to them, Zachar, the son of Imri, built. And the sons of Hassanah built the fish gate. They laid its beams and hung its doors with its bolts and bars. And next to them," see, they're working together, "Merimoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Koz, made repairs. Next to them, Meshullam, the son of Berechiah, the son of..." Goodness me, Meshezabel made repairs. "Next to them, Zadok, the son of Barna, made repairs." Always funny names. They were working together. "Next to them, the Tekoites made repairs." Now listen to this. "But their nobles did not put their shoulders to the work of their Lord." Isn't it interesting? You can read a passage of scripture like this. I've read it before and I thought, well, it's a bit boring, this bit, so I'll probably miss it. But the Lord said, read it again. So I read it and just read through. I thought, there's a message here. The message is, work together. Work together in groups. Work together as a whole team of people. You're working for the same common goal and the same common cause. And we're going to be speaking about that more in the coming weeks, of why we're here and what we're to do and what our goals and purposes are. But they were working together. And then there's this group of people called the Tekoites in verse 5. It says they made repairs to get together, but they're nobles. Here's an elite group within the church who think this is a little bit beyond them. Right? They're called to a much higher calling. They're the nobles of the church. And so they never get their hands dirty. They're scared about, or they're not scared, but it's a demeaning thing for them to do something practical. To go around to look after someone's baby, or to just to go around and love somebody. These are the nobles. And this talk about pride. That there was pride in the camp here, and it says the nobles did not put their shoulders to the work of their God. That's all it says. But if you read into that, you recognize that even amongst God's people, there were those that we're not going to get involved with repairs, get our hands dirty. I mean, come on, we're called to much higher things. And we have to be very guarded about this in the church, because We've both been called to be both spiritual and very practical. The most spiritual people in the church are the most practical people in the church. I'm not talking about being good at doing building or something like that, or electrics. I'm talking about being practical. I'm talking about love, actually being able to do something in love that's very, very down to earth. And for me, the most spiritual people are those people who do that. Amen. And then it goes on to say in verse 6, moreover, Jehoiada, the son of Pasah, and Meshullam, the son of Besodia, repaired the old gate. They laid its beams and hung its doors with its bolts and bars. Next to the Meliata, the Gibeonite, Jadon, the Meronathite, the men of Gibeon, Mizpah, repaired the residence of the governor of the region beyond the river. Next to him, Aziel, the son of Hahiah, one of the goldsmiths, made repairs. And next to him, Hananiah, one of the perfumers, made repairs. Here's someone with a special gift. He's a perfumer, makes perfume. It's a very sort of intricate thing to do. Yet he was involved in the repairs. And someone else was a goldsmith. He made repairs. And so the message to us is, whatever you think you're called to do, and you probably are called to do some of those things that you think you're called to do, is those things may be very spiritual things, but don't forget about the other things that need to be done in the church. Like on a Sunday morning. Wouldn't it be great if we all turned up here at half nine, quarter to ten? It would be great. Because then we could all pray together before the start of the meeting. And wouldn't it be great if when something's said at the front about someone who has a need, there'd be so many people who responded to the need that think, goodness me, we can't send them all to do this. Wouldn't it be great when we take up a special offering and have a goal where we need about £1,000, that instead of getting £1,000, we get £6,000. More than enough so we can bless not just what we're doing, but we bless a whole load of other things that God's doing in other places as well. And God just is reminding us here that whatever we're gifted to do, God wants us also to put our hand to the work in many practical areas in the church to make it work. It's all about building, you see. It's all about building up. It's not just using your gift. This is my gift. This is what I do. And not being prepared and ready to do lots of other things too. So that we serve the body. We're in the repairing work. We see these walls being built up. Whatever it takes, I'm here to see the church built, and you are too. Whatever it takes, however practical, whatever amount of time it needs to take, we'll give it so that the church will be built up. And then chapter 4 and verse 6. So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together. There it is, up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. What do they do? They had a mind to work together. This is the key. This is the key for us. And God, I just sense the Holy Spirit saying, I want to break down these separating walls where we think of ourselves in a separate way. You know, think of yourself being together. We're part of the whole church, whether you like the person in front of you or beside you or not. Okay, God's called us to be a people of love. And God's put a sort of right bunch of people like us together. And he says, now, love one another. Serve one another. See, I've called you together with a great vision to influence the church, influence the town of Crawley and beyond. And I'm going to build you together through love and through prayer. And you can't do it, but I can. Right? God's saying, you can't do this, but I can. And as you submit yourself to God, God is going to do mighty things amongst us and break these separating walls between us down. They had a mind to work in verse 6. And then verse 7, it says, now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites, this is the enemy, that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, they became very angry. When we begin to have a spirit of unity amongst us as a whole church, the devil gets mad. The devil will try and attack the church. Because that unity of faith, that unity of the spirit is like the building of walls up. That he cannot just come in any old how and attack people and take them out. And that happens sometimes in the church because the walls aren't built in the way that God wants them to be built at the moment. But God is building us up. And it says that this wall was joined halfway to halfway up, all the way around. It was built up. This means that the work is progressing. And God wants us to come to this place where we are building in the name of Jesus, building up in prayer, building together in the work of God in the church. And that wall between us is being built up all the way around. And the enemy gets mad because the gaps are being closed. The gaps where Satan can come in and attack people. the gaps where there can be division between people are closed down, because there's a unity there that he can no longer come through like he used to. Does this make sense? The gaps were beginning to be closed, and they became very angry, and they conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, verse 9, we made our prayer to our God. So we need to pray. We need to be vigilant in our prayers, my brothers and sisters, over the whole church at this point, at this time. Vigilant, because God wants us to move forward. God wants to build these walls up around us, the walls of the church. Vigilant, because some people are under an attack at the moment in the church here and at East Grinstead. And as we pray together, we'll see God will break through and bring them into victory themselves and cause us to build together in the work. Nevertheless, we made our prayers to our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them, against the enemy, day and night. So this prayer thing is a 24-hour thing that God wants to bring us into, where we're praying. I'm not talking necessarily about having a 24-hour prayer. We're not ready for that yet here. But I'm talking about the spirit of prayer is upon us day in and day out, that we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit in our praying, that we're listening to him and praying the things that God puts in our hearts. And then verse 13 and 14. Therefore, I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set the people according to their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. God wants us to know the weapons of our warfare that we have and how to use those weapons. You can read about them in 2 Corinthians, I think it is, chapter 10. You can read about them in Ephesians chapter 6, I think it is. Is it chapter 6? And many other scriptures too about the weapons that God has given to us to use. And it says that these people were positioned on the lower parts of the wall to stop the enemy coming in. And there's a need for us to be in prayer where we guard the whole body, the whole church, and it's for these walls to be built up. And he said, I set the people according to their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. So they were building, but they were also armed. And as we are building together in prayer and in love in our relationships, we need to be armed with our weapons of our warfare: prayer, the word of God, faith, the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, all these things that are part of our weaponry, faith, all of this, and as well as doing the work that God's called us to do. So we have our weapons, our weapon in one hand and the trowel in the other one. And this is how they were building the wall. This is literally how they built the wall. They had their weapons in one hand, and they had their building materials and their trowel in the other hand, and they worked together. Amen. Just a couple more verses, and we're going to finish, and then we'll continue on into next week, because there's more scriptures, and we just need to carry this with us in our hearts and our spirits together. Verse 15. And it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had brought their plot to nothing. There it is, the enemy was shut out. So there's a few things recently, as we start to pray, the enemy has been shut out. He can't come in because we've put somebody on the wall there to stop him from coming through. And God's answering our prayers. That God brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. So it was from that time on that half of my servants worked at construction while the other half held the spears, the shields, the bows and wore armour. Just a small example is when we do the outreach in next Saturday, the crosswalk, and when we do it on June the 6th, on that Saturday, we need to have at least a few people who are going to be praying for us while we go about what we do. And this is how the whole church needs to operate, that in everything that we do, there's always people praying. Not just about outreaches, but whenever we're doing stuff like this morning, there's people praying for us while we have our meeting this morning, praying that the Holy Spirit will give to us the things that we need and that we'll break through. So it was from that time on that half of the servants worked at construction, the other half held the spears, shields and bows, and they wore their armour, and the leaders were behind all the house of Judah. So the leaders weren't an elite group either, but they were all involved in this work together to see the walls being built up. Those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other they held a weapon. So grab the picture this morning. God's put weapons in your hands in the church here, And he's also given you a trowel. He's given you building materials and a work to do to help build the wall. Every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built, and the one who sounded the trumpet was beside me. Then I said to the nobles, the rulers, and the rest of the people, the work is great and extensive, and we are separated far from one another on the wall. That's how it feels sometimes. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, and this is why sometimes we all need to come together for prayer. We all need to come together. That's why East Corinthians isn't, I don't see East Corinthians as separate from Crawley. East Corinthians has a different work to do, but we're connected with Crawley as we're connected with Horsham. This is an apostolic work. And if we start working separately in the wrong way, we'll lose the plot. God's made that very, very clear to me that we need to, there's an anointing that flows all the way through. It's called relationships. Our relationships with the leadership, say at Horsham, my relationship and some of our relationships there, the cross flow between us that is in place is vital for us to move forward. Amen. It's vital for the guys at East Grinstead, not just think of themselves, we're a little church over at East Grinstead, separate from us, they're not. We're a part of the same work. This is one work, but we're building together in different parts of the wall, and we need one another. We need one another, and we need to work together and pray for one another so much. The work is great and extensive, and we are separated far from one another on the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of the men held the spears from daybreak until the stars appeared. At the same time, I also said to the people, let each man and his servant stay at night in Jerusalem, that they may be our guard by night and a working party by day. You see, what was happening is that the whole church labored together in prayer and in the work. It was both spiritual and practical. And if we're going to succeed, which we will do, in the things that God's called us to do, every one of us really needs to seek God afresh in our own prayer life with him. We need to ask ourselves, I'm just going to ask you just a couple of practical questions and we're going to finish because the time's up, I know. But we need to ask ourselves the question, am I giving myself to God in prayer, in devotion to him and receiving from him out of that relationship? Am I praying with others? God wants every one of us to be praying with others. God wants us as a whole body to be regularly praying together in our groups, right, the different groups that we have, but also all meeting together. And we're very, very soon going to be having, so we'll all be meeting together once a week, both over East Grinstead and Crawley, to pray, to meet with God and to push forward in the things that God is saying. That spirit of prayer is coming upon us so that we can build the wall. Hallelujah. They worked night and day. They prayed. They worked. And then chapter 6, and we're just going to finish with this, verse 15. Chapter 6, verse 15. That the goal is that the walls are completely built. Because once the walls are built, then Jerusalem could be used how God wanted it to be used. When the walls are built, as the walls are built up in the church here, God builds us together based on the foundation that we already have and the pillars that are here. As the walls are built up, God can then begin to do the things, the purpose for why we're here. The reason we're here is to influence Crawley. It's to see a breakthrough come to Crawley that isn't in Crawley at the moment. The reason we're here isn't just to see one or two people saved and added to the church, but the reason we're here is to see multitudes of people being saved. And God can't do that unless the walls are built up. And so God is saying to us quite seriously, what's my part in the building the walls here in the church? My part in prayer and my gifting and my calling. What are the things God's called me to do in this church to see this happen? What can I do practically to help to see the walls built up in the church? How can I love people in this church in a greater way? And it says in verse 15, so the wall, this was after a number of days, a number of months actually, so the wall was finished on the 25th day of Elul in 52 days. The wall was finished. They built the whole wall up so Jerusalem was ready to be used for its purpose, for the presence of God to come. And it happened when all our enemies heard of it and all the nations around us saw these things, that they were very disheartened in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was done by our God. Amen. When God builds the walls of the church, when God brings us to that position, that place he has for us as a people, the enemy is disheartened. His power is broken. Amen. And this is what God has called us to. Amen. We're going to close because we're time is up. Let's all stand, please. Hallelujah. Let me just ask you, the question this morning. And you may want to write this down, actually. You may want to write this down. You've got a pen. Otherwise, have a good memory. Practical. Prayer builds the wall. What's my part? That's the question. Prayer builds the wall, but what's my part? Personally. What's my part personally? If prayer builds the wall, what's my part personally? Maybe you say, well, my prayer part's already been done. I'm giving as much as I can. Just ask the Lord about your own prayer life. Ask him to speak to you about it because he may want to change a few things. What's my part personally? And then the second thing is, what's my part with others? See, this morning in the church, God's saying there's some people in the church that need to be praying with others who aren't praying together at the moment. And it's not a question of me trying to organise prayer groups in the church. God calls some people to pray together. Well, you need to go with the flow of that and begin to pray together for the church and for what God's called to do, your part in the wall. And then we have the different groups that we have in the church. That's your part as well. And praying together for the whole church and for what God wants us to do as a whole body. And then the second thing is, the practical side, is relationships. So the first thing is prayer. What's my part? Personal and together with others in the prayer. The second part, the second thing is relationships. Relationships of love build the wall. This has happened to Shola. This has happened to a number of you. As we relate to one another, as we love one another, as we serve one another, as we help one another, as we pray for one another, as we do things in the week that will encourage one another together, that builds the wall, doesn't it? We can't all meet together every day in the week, but there's things that we can do during the week where we can do things that will encourage one another. And so with relationships of love, that builds the wall too. So we're talking about prayer and relationships will build the wall of this church. And God's asking the questions here. What's my part? What's my part in relationships? Personal, that's your personal relationships with people in the church. Who does, don't think, well, no one comes to me. Now, who can you go to? Who can you go and build up? Who can you build a friendship with? Who can you build at least some encouragement with, even if you can't have a close relationship with them? What's my part? That's a personal thing. And then the second thing is, together with others. What can I do in relationship with other people that I'm not doing at the moment? Ask yourself those questions. Write them down on a postcard and send them in the post to me. Now, anything you get, just start working with those things that God's showing you. If you feel there's something that needs to come back to me or come back to us in the leadership, please feel free to send them to us. Because God is saying, I want you to move on. And the way that we move on is through prayer and through relationships of love. There's not another way. And I just want to encourage you, go for it with all of your heart. Find ways in which you can release this prayer with others. Find ways in which you can release loving relationships with others, not just in little cliquey groups. We don't want any cliquey groups in this church. Although we have groups, we don't want them to be separate. We want every group to be connected in love. It's relationships. So just ask the Lord. The Lord is asking those questions this morning. What's your personal part and what's your part that you need to play together? Is this all clear? Now, I'm not asking you to answer me that right now. I'm asking you to pray about those things before God and then start writing those answers down. Write them down and begin to pray them through and start taking practical steps in spending more time with some people. Now, I asked myself this question. I said, Lord, if you're asking me to give out more to people, how can I do that when I'm already giving out quite a bit each week, each day of each week? And the Lord said very simply, he said, when do most people have their tea?
Tea time.
So what's wrong with a few people getting together for tea time together?
Prayer time.
and having a short time of prayer, not the whole evening, not incringing or encroaching on someone's whole evening, but even just having a simple meal time and a short time to pray together and break bread. Wouldn't it be great if through the whole church we was doing that? A common time when we have our meals. Even if once a week you thought, now who can I invite round for a tea with us this week? Just for tea. Not for the whole evening, because lots of other things happen in the evenings. But just for a short meal, a meal together and a time to pray and build one another up. Wouldn't that be great?
Yes. Amen.
Now I know it is happening, but God was saying it can happen a whole lot more. Yeah. As we think outside of the box. Amen. Yeah. Let's pray, shall we? Let's pray. Let's lift our hands to the Lord and pray. Father, we thank you this morning.